The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's the show that Mark Twain once called smarter'n a blue jay what can talk possum and faster'n a naked fat man riding a bolt of lightning. So here's your plain-spoken homespun host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I have the privilege of talking to somebody I've not met till today. His name is Antonio Sabato Jr. Some of you know who he is. He's a good-looking man, and I hate to have on people here that are good-looking, better-looking than me, because I'm pretty. I'm so pretty that generally this doesn't happen. But seriously, Antonio Sabato, it is just a joy. I know your story. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here with you, man. Appreciate
you have it. A book out now called Sabato, The Untold Story. So yes, exactly.
Sabato, The Untold Story, right here.
And so, to prevent me from talking more and blithering, tell us, what is this story? Because there's some folks out here who don't know anything about you. What is this story?
There's a lot of amazing stories, inspirational stories that happened to me and my family coming from another country. What happened to my mother and my grandparents during World War II, and the Russians invading the Czech Republic during the 60s and 70s, and the Communist Party just really affecting my family. The struggles, being in the entertainment business for so long, all the stories that go with it, which are fascinating to itself, people that I've dated. Also, the blacklisting, surviving that, and just starting a new life in Florida and falling in love. Just there's a lot of, you know, I've witnessed death with my own eyes, been through a lot of hard times, a lot of beautiful times, and I gave my praise to Jesus Christ, you know, and I just, I think there was just a lot to tell, and hopefully I'll be able to help a lot of folks out there that maybe are down and out and need a little bit of a push and a different perspective.
Antonio, let me just jump in to clarify here. You grew up in Europe, in Italy.
Right.
And you are Italian.
Right.
You've got those good Italian looks, and you, your parents were in Czechoslovakia. Explain that, because I just want my audience
My mother was born in Prague, and my dad was born in outside of Palermo, in Montelepre, in Sicily. And me and my sister were born in Rome. So I'm half Czech. I'm an Italian Jew that gave my life to Christ years later. And my father is Italian. So I have an Italian citizenship. I also have an American citizen, of course. I became an American citizen in the 90s. Very proud of that. But the story with my mother was, you know, I used to go and visit Prague as a little boy. We used to drive from Italy back and forth. And I used to remember, I tell stories in the book about crossing over the border, and there were tanks, there was Communist Party, there was a big red flag with a hammer on it. And every time we would leave the country to go back to Italy, all my stuff were taken away. All the soldiers would go through the car, would take my toys, my personal belongings, books, anything that they wanted to take, they would take away from us. And I talk about socialism and communism, what it's done to my family, and especially my grandmother. You know, she was killed by the Russians years later in Prague, gunpoint in her apartment. And I talk about that. So a lot of, you know, harsh things that happened to my family on both my father and my mother's side. And I talk about it. People need to know.
Well, one of the things I also want to clarify, because again, there's so much here that it could be confusing. Your family was a big deal in the Italian movie industry. Tell us about that.
My father was an actor for many years, became a really big sensation after Grand Prix, which it was a movie that John Frankenheimer, MGM produced back in the 60s. Won 3 Academy Awards, and my father plays one of the lead characters, Nino Barlini. He plays a Formula One driver, and that just catapulted him to another level. And I talk about stories about him having a contract with MGM and refusing to sign it, and talk about, you know, just staying in Italy and just being proud of being an Italian. He should have came here, but he didn't. And then when years later he came back here to start a new career as a, you know, much older actor, nobody was there for him in Hollywood. I talk about that too. So a lot of compelling stories and a lot of wonderful stories at the end, you know, after everything else that's been.
But at the heart of it, again, just so people are tracking, is that you give your life to Jesus. You have conservative politics and you paid a gigantic price in Hollywood. I mean, that to me, that's kind of the lead here because everybody knows this stuff goes on, but we rarely get to hear from the people who have paid that price.
Well, they bully you. You know, Hollywood has a lot of power, you know, a lot of money, and they can make decisions. They can talk to casting directors. They can talk to, you know, everybody wants to be in that herd. You know, if the Hollywood, the major Hollywood key players say certain things, we got to follow what they say, because if I disagree with them, I won't work in this industry. I will be kicked out. I will be blacklisted. And that's wrong. We should all be equal and talk about things. But these people on the far left, they take it a whole new level. And I felt that it was compelling to talk about it because I'm not afraid of them. And that's why I'm starting my own studio. That's why I'm starting my own production company that's going to work with that. And I've done a lot of things to create my own future and rely on the man upstairs and the will to survive rather than Hollywood itself.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, I know your story is that you were in a lot of movies. You were how many movies were you in?
I've done a lot of probably close to 100 productions between soap operas, movies, TV shows, commercials. I'm still doing films right now. I am actually pre-production on Trailblazers, which I'm going to produce and direct with a wonderful cast of people, friends of mine. And, you know, I finished 3 films. I finished one in Arizona, Carolina's Calling, which just I think I finished a few weeks ago. And I'm working. I'm doing it no matter what, you know. And listen, at a time in my life, I was against the wall. You know, I had to start a new life. You know, I had to start working in construction. I work with CNC concrete pumping here in Florida. I do other things to maintain money coming so I can take care of my kids. I mean, Hollywood really did some really bad stuff to me. And now I have a book. I'm in love. I'm doing great. My kids are closer to me than ever. And I'm still working. So I'm very blessed.
Well, at what point in your life did you give your life to God? I mean, where did that happen for you? How did that happen?
A lot of times, you know, and a lot of times I failed when I thought I was going to give my life to Christ. You know, we fail and we succeed and we fail and we succeed. You know, it's up and down. And then I would say in the last 10 years, I really devoted myself to Christ on a whole different level. I have a commitment. I have a relationship with him that is really strong. And I've always had it. But I think as a grown man and what I've been through now, it's just really fulfilled itself. And I feel great.
It's kind of funny because you don't hear those stories a lot. A lot of times, you know, we want this dramatic narrative, you know, I'm a crackhead. And then one day I lay down the crack pipe and everything's different. And the reality for a lot of people is very, very different. So thanks for being honest about that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I know that being a conservative in Hollywood on any level is just something that I know so many people that keep their mouths shut about it because they know they will lose jobs. You said that you are starting a studio. What tell us about that, because this is very exciting to me.
Well, I want to make pictures that support our law enforcement. I want to make pictures that support our military, our flag, our constitution, the history of this country. And I also want to make movies about the reality of the things that have happened to our president as well, which Hollywood will never make and will never do. So how do we do that? How do we accomplish that? By raising money to produce our films, by raising money to produce and create a studio. And this is what I'm doing. I'm contacting people. My production company is contacting people and putting people together. I raised about $1 million right now. I need to raise about 5 more to produce Trailblazers, and we're by ourselves. You know, so I talk about it to people. I said, you call yourself a patriot? You want to make these kinds of films? You want to support films that support maybe Christ or our flag or things that you really are attached to as an American? Well, come on board, get in touch with me, and let's work together. And that's what I've been doing, and I'm not going to stop.
This is exactly the kind of thing, you don't know me, but I've been talking about this for now decades, that Christians and conservatives tend not to get this. They tend not to understand the cultural piece. And the cultural piece, the left has uniquely understood, and they've had a monopoly in the culture. And this has been tragic, and we're seeing the fruit of it right now. that right. if you do not invest in the culture with ideas regarding America and patriotism and faith and all these kinds of things, then you can forget about it. So I just love the idea that you're awake to this, as am I. We're going to be right back, folks. I'm talking to the author of Sabato, The Untold Story. Don't go away.
I tell you, chum, it's time to come blow your horn.
I am talking to Antonio Sabato Jr., not to be confused with his father, Antonio Sabato Sr. They're different people. One is older than the other. I don't know which is which, but Antonio Sabato Jr., you have a book out. You decided it was time to write the story of your life. It's called Sabato, The Untold Story. There is such crazy stuff in here. I mean, it says that murder, arson attack. Really, it is an unbelievable story, starting with the beginning of growing up in Europe, seeing communism. I keep saying, because my parents saw communism in Europe growing up, that those who have seen it appreciate American style freedom in a way that no one else does, that we have a love for America because we've seen the hideous alternative.
100%. And people are so spoiled in this country, they have no idea what socialism is. And they're very ignorant to the fact that they confuse socialism with socializing programs, which are two different things. Socialism, which is what the far left, actually the Democratic Party is promoting on a daily basis, plus violence and everything else. We can't allow that to happen. That's why as soon as you take out God out of our schools, out of our family, you take family out of our daily life, you take out those principles and make this country great, you're left by yourself trusting these politicians, and you're voting for these people promising the world to you, and nothing happens. I mean, California is literally burning down to the ground, not so much for the fires that happens every single year, it's from the people in government. In government, they take advantage of the American people. We have to rise up to that. We need to get back to promoting our police officers. There are good folks that are risking their lives. We need to start promoting, have dignity for our flag and our country and our God, which made this country strong. And when you let those things go and you keep believing the flesh, what you see is what you hear on CNN 24 hours a day, you're bound to go into the darkness because you start believing these lies. And we need to start getting back on the ground and start believing on things that matter, like God itself.
I got to ask you, when your family had to leave Italy because of this arson attack, can you tell us about that? I'm not really clear on what happened there. Why were you attacked that way?
Well, I didn't know. Growing up, once again, as a little boy, I didn't know. But my house, our apartment, which was where we lived, we had our belonging, everything we ever had as a little boy, burned down to the ground. And my parents knew that day, and they told me much later that it was actually done on purpose. And you find out in the book why it was done on purpose. And I remember being stranded with my sister and my father and my mother, looking at our house burning down to the ground. We didn't have friends that came on board to help us out. All those so-called friends that my father helped out in the industry, in the movie business, nobody was there. And we talk about a specific story that when you're stranded and you're praying, and I'm talking about you lost your clothes, you lost everything you ever had because it burned to the ground like an oven, gigantic amount of flames that destroyed everything. A stranger that we met a few days later helped us out and invited us into their home to take care of us.
Did your father have enemies in the business or in government?
Yeah, my father had enemies in the business. My mother had enemies in the business. You know, when you speak out against socialism, look what happened to me. It's a perfect example. And so many other people that, you know, speak about God or speak about, you know, things that they disagree with, they will put you in your place or they'll try to. And it happened back then and it's happening now.
Well, and also we've neglected to mention, I mean, you have such a crazy career. I hope people will read the book, Sabato, The Untold Story. But you were the face, of Calvin Klein. I mean, you're not just a pretty face. You had a pretty body, and you were all over billboards and stuff. This is in the 90s.
Yeah, it was in the 90s.
How did that come about? Because I got a pretty body. Nobody's approaching me.
Not yet. After today, they will. But what happened to me, I wanted to be in show business. I wanted to make movies. And one of the films that I did back then in the 90s was a movie called If Looks Could Kill, which is a true story about a character that was wanted by the FBI. And anyway, so it was a popular film that Calvin Klein got the chance to see. And he said, well, I'm doing the next campaign of Calvin. Let's see what this actor, Antonio, I'd love to meet him. And I went to New York, and me and him became best friends. I mean, ever since. He's one of the nicest guys. I love Calvin. And we end up doing three amazing campaigns, the longest for a male celebrity. And that was one of my blessings in my life, to work with Calvin.
I just have to be, in the interest of full disclosure, I'm not a fan of Calvin Klein. I think he has done tremendous things to corrupt American culture, but don't tell him I said that, because I know he's older now. He doesn't need the grief.
Well, he was a good man, and he had a good campaign. Campaigns, many, and now he's just chilling out, retired. You know.
Yeah. Now that Satan has used him to wreck America. But listen, we don't need to go into that. Okay, you didn't. You have no part in this. All right.
No, I hope.
Let me ask you. So, were you before Marky Mark?
I was after Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, I was.
After Mark Wahlberg. Who has bigger guns, biceps today, you or Mark Wahlberg?
I don't know. We would have to check it out. We would have to go on a good workout. You know, Mark, you see this? Let's get a workout and see what's up.
Well, don't you find it interesting that Mark Wahlberg also has become very serious about his Christian faith? It's kind of funny. There's an irony, if you don't mind my pointing that out, that the two of you have become very serious about your faith.
Well, you know, someday we're going to have to face the man upstairs. And I hope that, he will know that I'm allowed in the gates of heaven, because my life is dedicated to the one man, and that's Christ, the Son of God. And I don't know. I think as you get older, you start seeing what's important. And that's important to me. It makes me a better person, my relationship, my personal relationship with Christ. And I share it because it makes me a better person, you know.
There's no doubt about that. So was it as a result of the Calvin Klein campaign that you got this big soap opera opportunity? Tell people, because I know there's a lot of people who would be familiar with you from the soaps.
No, that was before. I actually General Hospital became, I was on GH, and I became a really popular character from 92 to 94. And then Calvin Klein came after that. So I've been blessed. I've done all kinds of stuff, and I'm still doing it now, and I'm going to continue to.
We want to know, what are Luke and Laura really like? Could you tell the audience?
Well, I only work with Tony, with Luke, for a little bit after that. But the Luke and Laura were before my days.
I'm ashamed that I even know that to ask.
I know, right?
We're going to edit that out. We're going to edit that out because it's my show. So when you talk about living and reliving the American dream, we both know, or my audience knows, that a lot of people have denigrated the American dream. What do you say to people who not only don't love America, but hate America? They chant death to America in the streets. How is it possible in a country like this that this can happen?
I think it's just it's a disgrace, to say the least. This country is the greatest country on Mother Earth. It's helped so many people, so many countries getting back together. And it's still, to this day, we have our soldiers placed all over the world helping everyone else. And that's just who we stand for. We stand for freedom and dignity and honor and our flag. And that, to me, is personal. So I don't know if I can change a lot of opinions out there, you know, especially when they're talking about, you know, burning the flag and things like that. But I can tell you one thing, this country is everything to me, and I'm not going to let that happen. If I can do it individually, if I can do it by selling more books and getting that across. But Americans are very, very blessed to be here. And maybe you should take a look at taking a trip to Venezuela and see how it is down there, or other places around the world, and see how fortunate we are to live here. I give great respect to this nation. It's the best and number one in my book.
Well, again, I think that people who have come from the other side, from someplace else, like my folks and people like me who have seen the other side. I mean, when I was a kid, like you were describing, we took the train from West Germany to my mother's family's home in East Germany. And what I saw when I crossed across that border, machine guns, German shepherd dogs, guard towers, barbed wire. As a kid, I said to myself, we're entering a prison. The communist bloc is the world's largest prison. Now, of course, that would be China. But I have to say that, you know, those of us who have seen that, that you'll never forget it. And I think most Americans haven't seen that, and they have a false view because of the media and that kind of thing. We've just got moments left. What was it that got you to write this book, Saboteau, The Untold Story?
A combination of things. Just like I said, being against the wall, seeing death with my own eyes, you know, going through the last 4 years of being blacklisted and being treated, you know, in a bad manner for no reason. People that I had never met before in my industry, peers, people that I looked up to call me names. And I don't like that. You know, we need to speak out about what's going on in Hollywood. We need to really talk about that. People should not be treated that way by my peers because my political view is different. It's ridiculous. It's just childish. It's just, I never seen that before, you know?
Well, look, none of us has, and it's one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on this program to hear from you. So congratulations, Antonio Saboteau Jr. on the book. The book is Saboteau, The Untold Story. Antonio, thank you so much.
Check it out. Thank you very much.
Investors seeking steady cash flow, ready to diversify? NRIA has grown to be one of the nation's leading specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted at 18 to 21%. That's right. You could receive steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. As their slogan says, they specialize in realty investing done right. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Learn how you can invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today and receive 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses. This is something savvy investors should research and consider. Call now 800-700-5483. That's 800-700-5483 or visit NRIA.net.
An offer to buy or sell any security is only made by our private placement memorandum. Read it first. See us at NRIA.net.
Folks, I got some embarrassing news to share with you, but you know what? This is just the kind of a show where I don't care. I'm willing to lay my heart, you know, on the line. Here's the issue. Mike Lindell with MyPillow, you may notice that I have a bobblehead of him near me. He's here to remind all of us that when you go to MyPillow.com, you get whopping discounts if you use the code Eric, okay? Now, there are a lot of people who haven't done that, and we have your names here. And Chris Himes and Albin pointed out to me that there's like three pages of you whose first name is Eric. You yourself, I mean, that's humiliating for me that even though your name is Eric, you're still not willing to use the code Eric. I mean, if you don't want to use it because it's my name, use it because it's your name. But the point is that I see who you are, and I just feel humiliated by this. Please go to MyPillow.com. It's okay, Mike. It's going to be okay. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric. You're going to get whopping savings and really high quality products. Did I mention that? Thank you. Folks, as promised, I have my friend Dennis Prager on this program. Dennis, I just said it to you privately. I'll say it to the world. You're an encouragement to me, I think to a lot of people. I think it's why you've been such a success in your particular line of work, talking on the radio. We're in some dark straits, some difficult straits as a nation. You know that. You talk about it. I know it. I talk about it. Where do you see us heading? What is your feeling about this election coming up?
I probably have the exact same feelings you have. So the only difference will be that I'll put it in my words as opposed to your words. But I suspect, like on almost every issue, we see eye to eye, which is not common, by the way. we're outliers, both of us. we also march to the beat of our own drummers. We have a lot in common. We're the only people to have made Vice President Pence laugh in the last 4 years.
True. That's true. Oh, stop it. Now, come on. So what do I see?
Okay. So
you still haven't answered my question. Use your own words. Use anybody's words. Use Truman's words. I don't care. But go ahead.
Ironically, I do use FDR's words, and I'm not an FDR fan. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself, which was always regarded, which he said during the height of the Depression or the depths of the Depression. And it was always regarded as such a great thing for a leader to say. But when this leader, President, our president right now, when President Trump says, you can't be, what is it, preoccupied or obsessed, whatever the word is, with the virus, then he is mocked in the New York Times. So when he says, you have to live life, that's awful. When FDR said it, that was noble.
It was a different country. Let's face
it. That's right. It was a different country. That is exactly right. I make this clear to younger people, and I much of my work is with young people because of PragerU. And I tell them quite honestly, I grew up in a different country than you did. For all intents and purposes, it was a different country. It was the land of the free and the home of the brave. In 1968, 69, 100,000 Americans died of all ages, not overwhelmingly over 80 and sick. Of all ages, nothing locked down. They had Woodstock, where there was certainly no social distancing. There was a sin to social distance at Woodstock. And that was at the height of that epidemic.
What epidemic?
I'm sorry, the Hong Kong flu.
Okay. I'm not kidding. I've completely forgotten about the Hong Kong flu.
That's right.
It was a blip. It was something but the Hong Kong flu is something that you're telling me killed how many Americans?
100,000 of all ages. That's 165,000 in our population terms. So it's very close to what we lost. And again, over all ages.
And look, let's be honest, that the figures that we're hearing are totally inflated. I mean, if you died in a motorcycle accident and you tested positive for COVID, that's a COVID death, right?
Yeah, it's like secondhand smoke. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So, it's kind of funny because when you talk about a different America, you're only going back to 68. But the fact of the matter is when someone like FDR said that, most Americans, you know, we're coming out of the Depression. It resonated with them.
That's right.
Today, obviously, many people they're living in fear. They have an ideology of fear. They don't have a good attitude about life and death. So they live in fear of death as though it could ever be avoided. And
they live in fear of life. The left fears everything. That's why there are safe spaces on college campuses. Think about it. What is a safe space? It's an intellectual equivalent of quarantine.
It's unbelievable. It's hard for me to believe that they really exist and that people that ought to be getting married and raising families are sucking their thumbs in safe spaces. I think that's the difference between, you know, the America of the past and today. That's one difference. But Dennis, but before I forget, there are a couple of things that you're involved in that I want to remind my listeners and viewers of. Number one, No Safe Spaces. We've talked about it here. It's a documentary that you made with Adam Carolla. And it is available at salemnow.com. If they use the code ERIC, they get 20% off. But that is, of course, about free speech, at least.
Yes. The film is a great film. I don't say it because I'm in it. It's not great because I'm in it. And I'm not Mr. Humble. I'm Mr. Honest. And it's just a great movie, period. Almost everyone who sees me, strangers, and tells me that they saw the movie, say they saw it at least twice. It's No Safe Spaces, and it's It shows you, it predicted what we're now seeing. When Twitter will say you cannot see a news article detrimental to the Democratic nominee for president. This is unprecedented in American history. No Safe Spaces said, you know what? It started on the campus. Take a look.
Yeah, well, that's it remains to be seen what is going to happen. But when Twitter and Facebook did what they did last week with that New York Post story about Hunter Biden, I have to say, honestly, that to me was an inflection point. I cannot believe that happened. When we come back, we're talking to Dennis Prager. Why would you go away?
Get back home. Sleep pretty, darling. Do not cry.
Folks, welcome back. I told you wouldn't go away. I'm talking to Dennis Prager, and I knew you'd be here, and here you are. So I was right. Dennis, you're so compelling. No one would dream of looking away from the car crash that is our conversation. Let me ask you, Facebook has been accused of canceling advertising for CancelCon, an event starring you and Ben Shapiro. A huge Jew and a small Jew. And that's what I love about you. You're huge. Let me ask you, CancelCon is an event that's happening. Facebook is accused of canceling advertising. Now, we're not going to say they're anti-Semitic, right? Because that's not the issue. What's the issue? That they think that you are just two bigots? Is that the idea?
Well, it's actually even more interesting. It's actually Ben Shapiro, Adam Carolla, myself, and Dave Rubin is the moderator. So they're anti, if you want, you know, they're anti-gay. Dave Rubin's gay. They're anti-atheist. Adam Carolla's an atheist. But the truth is, they don't give a damn about gay, atheist, Jew. They give a damn about conservative values. That's what they want to suppress. The greatest bigotry in this country is against conservatives, and then within that framework, the biggest is conservative Christians. And I'm saying this as a Jew. Conservative Christians are the most hated group in the United States of America. It dwarfs anti-Semitism. It dwarfs racism.
Well, at this point, you're unfortunately right. But you know what's interesting? I was at an event recently, sort of a Christian event, and when I spoke about why we need to vote for Trump, it was not about voting our self-interest. In other words, if I am a Christian, the reason I want my values to be promoted is because they're the values that will help everyone. In other words, to believe in religious liberty is not to believe just that I can worship in my church, but that the government has no business bothering people about whether they worship, how they worship, whom
right.
they
well,
worship.
Okay,
that
you
to me,
gave it away. Forgive me, Eric. You gave your values away when you said the government has no business in interfering. Just stop there. Not just with church. It has no business interfering in my life. That's the American ideal. Get the government out of people's government running people's lives is the human norm, whether it is tribal or whether it is a king in Europe. That is the human norm, that some human beings control your life. Freedom is the aberration of human history. And as I point out all the time, it is not an instinct. People do not yearn to be free. They yearn to be taken care of.
Well, I, of course, wrote about this very eloquently in my book, If You Can Keep It. And I have to tell you that it was in some ways a revelation to me. In other words, to really think about freedom on the American model, what a wild outlier it is in history. It's a bizarre outlier. It's a wild, crazy idea that had never been pulled off in the history of the world. And then suddenly we get it. And you know, 250 years later, we're taking it for granted because we don't even realize what it is or what we need to do. And you're right. The folks who are, they call themselves the left today, but they're standing against America, against freedom and liberty, but they hardly know what those things are. Let's be honest. They were not taught. They don't know what those things are. I want to find out about CancelCon before we lose time here, Dennis. CancelCon is an event. When is this event happening?
Good question.
Oh, you don't know?
We have recorded it, and I would like to know. I don't know the answer. I can only tell you it is truly worth seeing.
Okay, so it has been made, and it's going to be available, but we don't know if it's available yet, I guess. Is that the idea?
I feel silly not knowing.
You're like me. Well, anyway, but the point is...
I thought the host would know. What am I going to say, folks? I thought he'd know.
You thought the host would know? That's funny, because I thought you would know since you're in it. Well, listen, here's the issue, though. Facebook has been accused of canceling advertising for this. That's the issue. That's the news issue. That big tech is so big.
Well, Netflix would stream child porn, but it wouldn't stream No Safe Spaces.
How do you maintain a smile in the face of this? This is so wicked to me that we in America.
So when you asked me how I was before we went on, I said, I'll give you my answer that I give everyone. I'm fine. My country isn't.
Yeah.
And so I walk around with great gratitude for my wonderful individual life and great worry about my wonderful country. And my getting depressed will not help this country. I'm a very pragmatic human being. I need to fight for this country. If the guys at Normandy Beach died for it at 20, I could live for it at 70. That's my view.
You're not that old yet, are you?
It's amazing. No, the truth is, I find it a little amazing, but a number is a number. I feel the same as I did at 26. I do more than I did at 26, but that's the number.
You're a punk kid. Let me just tell you, I know you, and just in terms of wisdom, you're very, very young. But let me just say that what you just said, of course, it's right out of the New Testament. Truth is truth. We are commanded by God to rejoice in Him always, and to rejoice no matter what the circumstances are. And we're not in the Soviet gulag looking for rats to eat.
That's right, exactly.
And we need to thank God for what we have, and to thank God for the freedom that we have. Such that we're able still to fight, we're able still to speak and to do what we can do, and we'll just keep going, you know, until we don't have that ability anymore, and then we'll still praise God.
But people need to know that going to see No Safe Spaces, patronizing your sponsors, you good folks, you can't do nothing, and helping the fighters is as important as fighting.
That's wow, Dennis. It's funny because I rarely say things like that, but it really is true. You and I need the help of the people that are listening right now. And we say that very seriously, folks. We really do. We're not just saying that. We'll be right back. Final segment with my friend, Dennis Prager. Folks, I'm talking to Dennis Prager. Have you heard of him? He's a radio host. He's part of the Salem Radio Network. We're videotaping this. Videotaping, did I say that? What are we doing? We're filming this. We're doing something. The point is that we can be seen on YouTube this minute, or we will be able to be seen soon. Dennis, you just said something that I think bears repeating. You said that you and I, doing what we do, we need the help of our listeners and our viewers, that they would patronize our sponsors. I tell people, if you go to mypillow.com, please use my code Eric. Why do I say that? Well, because we really do need your help in so many ways. But I think, Dennis, the fact that I go around the country just as you do, and you bump into people who listen to you on the radio and have been inspired or encouraged somehow. And it means so much to us, doesn't it? I mean, the idea that, you know, God would use us for his purposes, that's nothing small. It's a huge thing.
Well, that's the animating belief of my life. You know, I am, if you will, a theologian aside from other things. My Bible commentary is going into volume 3, coming out next year. I did Genesis and Exodus and doing Deuteronomy now. And people ask me about prayer, and I tell them I never ask God for anything. I did twice in my life. And but I don't, I almost never do. What I want to know is not what God can do for me, but what I can do for God. So I'm very, I resonate to what you just said about God. I want to make clear about this helping fighters issue. I often have said, the good people are divided into three groups. Those who fight, those who help the fighters, and those who do nothing. Those who do nothing is the largest group of good people. It's a sad fact. However, the good news is those who help the fighters are doing as much good as the fighters. Because without supplies, the troops can't fight. So the supply troops are as important as the front troops, the frontline troops. I'm a fighter, you're a fighter. We need help. When I raise funds for PragerU, where they know PragerU's fighting. So you've got to donate, and people do. We've had the best year in our history in terms of raising donations. When you and I ask people to support ADF or whatever, or to buy a product, or to buy dog food. If you buy the dog food that's on a talk radio commercial, you are making talk radio possible. The biggest difference between America and Europe is they don't have talk radio.
That's amazing. I never thought of that.
Yeah, I say that to every one of my European conservative guests, and they say, you're absolutely right. And you know why we have talk radio? We have talk radio because it's effortless to buy a radio station in the United States. You don't work for the government if you have a license. In Europe, you do. So we're the freest country, and they hate talk radio. There was just a column, Eric, in the New York Times last week, a column on how bad talk radio is for America.
Maybe by God's grace, Trump will be reelected, and all of the European socialist types will move to Europe. Wouldn't that be a sweet thing? Dennis, I'm sorry that we're out of time.
We would buy their tickets.
I would carry them physically if I could walk across the ocean. I'm sorry we're out of time, so we can't continue to goof around. Dennis Prager, my friend, God bless you. Great encouragement. Give my love to your third wife, please. Let her know that I'm thinking of her.
So I will, and I'll see you about a fourth.